The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. May it overtake us and give us courage. Oh, my dear heart dwellers, I feel so badly about my shortcomings. I had a good time of repentance this morning, but now I'm working to accept His forgiveness into my heart. I do want to make mention of an error I made in recording. The Lord had basically told me, and this was in the recording, the order of events with the comment and so on, the Lord had basically told me that the treaty would not be made while we were still here, but after the rapture, after we'd been taken. Well, I didn't make that clear in the video about the order of events, so I'm afraid I made a big boo-boo because I stated that the treaty would not take place. Something like that. But what I meant to say, it wouldn't take place while we were here on the earth. So I'm asking a favor of you all. Please, if you see anything that contradicts Scripture, please, please tell me. It was most likely a failure on my part to communicate what the Lord was saying. And I want to make something clear here. He doesn't appear to me in three-dimensional reality. It's a very misty presence at best. I mean, sometimes He makes Himself very clear, but that kind of makes me melt, so He doesn't do that too often. But I do see Him as through a veil, darkly, so to speak. I do see Him, and I do hear Him. And the situation basically is that I hear Him in the way of understanding, in the way of thoughts that are transferred to my mind. And He leaves it to me to put it into words. So I knew well the treaty wouldn't come until after the rapture, but for some reason, probably He allowed it because of my pride, I failed to communicate that. For one, the video was done in a time when I was extremely tired. So in order to avoid confusion on the channel, please share it with me when you perceive a contradiction with Scripture. I'm afraid I've scandalized many people who have listened to that message, and some I may never get a chance to clarify it to. And we don't want the Lord's teachings to be discounted because of an oversight. So that said, I'll go on with our little dialogue with the Lord this morning. Jesus, I feel so badly. I've let You down. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to do better. He replied, all is forgiven. Just keep your heart open to the needs of others, Claire. He hugged me and lifted my chin. I'm right here, my Claire. Oh, Lord, I feel so wretched. He answered me, what? Your humanity surprises you? No, I know how human I am, to the degree that you've allowed me to see, that is. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry for my mistakes. Think no more about it. They've been swallowed up in my sea of mercy. Now, go about doing good, and especially, work on the portrait. I am with you in this, as you will see, beloved, as you will see. Yes, you will indeed see. I'm excited about that. In the meantime, Lord, my heart aches with these new developments, the things that you shared yesterday. How do I explain them? Here I'm referencing the emergence of Donald Trump, a leader who could change America if he were given more time, if our nation were given more time. So how do I explain this, Lord? Because it seemed to me that it was a contradiction to the rapture, like maybe the rapture would be delayed for 4 years or something, giving America a chance. And it was very painful for me trying to sort it all out, and I couldn't wait to get into prayer and get some clarification. Now, here's what he said. So I asked him, how do I explain this, Lord? He answered me, I've already done that for you. You may simply confess that because of your pride, I do not give you all the answers, but pieces of the puzzle. Then other pieces come together and make the picture complete. But I want you to understand, what I give you is especially pertinent to those who frequent this channel. I'm working with them in a special way. Yes, a very special way. And what I give you is for them to grow in holiness, purity, honor, and dedication to me. Unwavering dedication. There are many very talented souls looking in on this channel, and I'm coaxing them to serve me with their gift while there is yet a little time. Just like your husband, Satan has made concerted efforts to cause guilt over the attributes I wish to cultivate in them. Yes, I can't even begin to tell you how much the devils pummel him with guilt for sitting quietly and spending time with the Lord or for his music. They just assassinate him, and he hears their voices very clearly. So there's constantly a battle going on every time he picks up something holy to do. For many years, when your age group and those over 50 were growing up, the climate was post-World War II, and there was a focus on responsibility for rebuilding society and scorn and contempt for creativity. They were taught that housework, dishes, cooking, laundry, and all these other basic things came first. No, prayer comes first, then your anointing, then the housework. Of course, when you're raising children, your anointing is a mother. But still, your gifts are not to be suppressed. I gave them so you could serve me in unique ways, ways that would bring joy, not only to you, but to others. Do you know how many people equate prayer with recreation? In other words, prayer comes last after all your chores are done, if you're lucky and have time left over. Oh, no, no, no. Prayer comes first, above and beyond all activities. In other words, it should occupy the prime part of your day, whether that be evenings or mornings. Mornings are much better before your head is filled with the busyness of the world, which makes concentration and reception, tuning into me, much, much more difficult. So for those who have families, going to bed shortly after your children affords you the opportunity to get 2 hours of prayer in the morning before they awake. Then you are anointed for your homeschooling or other things pertaining to their growth. What I want to discuss is the guilt you are infected with every time you put spiritual priorities at the top of the list. Immediately you are assailed with demons of condemnation. You shouldn't be praying. You haven't done your week shopping yet. You shouldn't be playing music. Your floors are dirty. You shouldn't be writing. The laundry's not caught up. Do you understand? The devils do all they can, using every dirty tactic to get you to put prayer last when you have no strength left, no time left, and no incentive left because of exhaustion. You must fight this lie by refusing to buy into it. Rebuke it in my name and carry on with what is yours to do. Not only will you find your purpose in life, but you'll be able to establish healthy working habits in your children. Always pray first. This brings all my blessings and anointing for the day's work, and it aligns you with my agenda. What you're looking at here is very, very threatening to the enemy. A creative, satisfied, and responsible person is a very dangerous person to the kingdom of darkness. You carry the seeds of inspiration that can bring others hope, joy, and enthusiasm for life, and most of all, into relationship with me. When you find your gift and turn it into a way of life, like Joseph did in the carpentry shop, you enjoy your work, you teach others to reach higher, but most of all, when you are where I want you to be, doing what you are supposed to be doing, you are highly anointed and fulfilled. Satan would see you frustrated, empty, a literal walking dead man, dead to all your hopes and dreams and gifts. That is why musicians and artists of every kind, as well as ministers, are so persecuted and denounced for their choices in life. Well, my main issue here is never, ever allow yourself to be intimidated or convinced that prayer is a luxury. Don't fall for that lie. Prayer is your most important necessity every day. Though the world will not understand, if you want to come into the fullness of anointing for your life, make this a top priority and break out of the mold society calls being responsible. Now I know that some of you were upset with yesterday's message. Some of you do not grasp what I laid out before you. Did I say the rapture was far off? No. Did I infer it? Yes. But I'm here to clarify that. It is still slated for the near future. My brides, I wanted you to get your priorities straight. I wanted you to meld into my heart and seek my will above all else. I wanted you to know that if you love me, your agenda should be identical with mine, and mine is to save as many as possible before events befall the earth. I have hearkened to your prayers, my bride. A month ago, I asked you to press in with repentance and prayer for the nation. Not only this channel, but all through my body, I planted the word where it would be accepted and acted on. And you all were obedient to apply yourselves to prayer. And as a result, certain things have been mitigated, toned down, canceled, or lessened. That includes your leadership, which is key to your future. There is another chance being given to America, but that does not negate the rapture and what must yet be fulfilled on the earth. It lessens it. It does not negate it. When the young man Nathan was taken to heaven, he was told. The rabbi said, "In what period do we find ourselves now?" Nathan, "A very bad period. That is to say, Goela, redemption, is very close. What is going to happen in this redemption? It will happen some really bad things. But from what I understand, that does not concern everyone." Someone from the audience said, "Is it clear that it is for now?" Nathan answered, "It is clear that this will happen in the coming months." That was back in September, I think. "Is it possible that this does not happen?" Nathan, "If everyone does teshuva, repentance, so this does not happen." Right after that, I said, "Lord, please continue speaking to me." Jesus began, "Those who repent will be saved and kept from the wrath. Those who do not..." He became silent and choked up. There has been a lot of repentance in America in the past month. A lot. Still, what is written must take place. Yet the repentance has caused many events to be delayed. There must be a continuance of repentance. It must go deeper and deeper. Many are not aware of how they have offended my Father, but this will come with the events. "Lord, what about Donald Trump?" "He's a good man for the job." "We will see. I cannot say anything more about it at this time. Everything has not yet been decided. But he is my Father's choice for America. Yet the church has much left to do, very much." And here I just want to take a minute and say that I guess the other candidate's a minister's son or whatever, but for some reason, just like the Lord chose Nebuchadnezzar to be king, he's choosing this man for America. That's his choice. And it is the result of a lot of prayer and a lot of repentance. I don't suppose he's a Christian, but he stands for the closest thing to moral values that we could get out of any of those candidates, as far as I can tell. And he's ready to stand up to the New World Order and to the elite and just march right through them. And God is with him. I believe that. I really, really believe that. So then the Lord continued. He said, Yet America and the church has much left to do, very much. Much more repentance on a wider scale. This will happen after certain events. There is much hope, Claire, much hope. Those who have hearkened to my plea for prayer and repentance have turned the fate of this country around. That does not mean it will be easy. There will be much death and many disasters. These still will occur, but because of the faithfulness of the few who are repentant and repenting for this nation, the effects of these devastations will be far less. You know me. You know I only apply as much pressure as is needed to get the job done. I hate death. I hate sorrow and loss. I hate suffering, especially the suffering of the innocent. Much of the future events have been cast as a result of immorality and corruption, even of my people. So certain things must happen. Yet I will show mercy, and much tragedy will be averted. The more my people repent, the more tragedy will be averted. As has been said, the true heart of this people is not reflected by the leadership, which is underhanded, evil, and controlling, only for the benefit of a few. Because of this true heart, because of her giving from the will of the people, because of that, the worst chastisements will be lessened, and even in some cases, averted. So now I ask my people to continue to pray and repent. Engage in those things you know are from me. Serve me with all your hearts and strength and mind. The fruits of that service, even in the little time that remains, will be mighty. You do not see as I see. I see the future, and I see how these gifts will manifest throughout the whole world and will bring much conversion and illumination to those who might have otherwise been lost. If I've given you the gift of prophecy, prophesy. If I've given you the gift of writing, evangelism, teaching, ministering to the poor, rise up and use your gift. Use it until the very last moment of your time here on earth. Things like books, teachings, art, music, and good works, they will bear tremendous fruit in the appointed time of the harvest. It is coming. Yes, the harvest is coming, but it shall be preceded by sorrows. Do not grow weary in well-doing, my people. I know the time is dark, and it indeed seems like there is no end to the waiting. But make the most of every minute. Serve, create, admonish, witness, do good wherever you go, and do it in my name. Oh, how I love my courageous bride. She's beautiful beyond measure, and I long to bring her home and reward her. But first she must make her presence known through various trials. Then all men will see me and no longer have any excuse for sin. They will see the goodness of my people, and through that I will be revealed to them, and there will no longer be an excuse for sin. Rise up, my bride, rise up into your calling. Stand fast and see the glory of the Lord. I am still coming.